Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very, very special Vinny Eastwood show. It's a very special day today because, unlike many of the times where we have doctors on the show, we've got people who actually save lives as opposed to repenting for ending so many of them in a eugenics operation type fashion called the American medical industry. Run by a mafioso-type group of characters that engage in untold levels of scumbaggery, including extortion, standovers, manufacturing evidence, breaking into doctors' offices, revoking medical licenses for no freaking good reason, and a whole myriad and cast of characters that includes more conspiracies than you could see in any Hollywood movie, who incidentally get their ideas from the real conspiracies. And my very special guest today is the entire team, leadership team of the remarkable Baczynski Clinic, which has actually received such acclaim, guys, I've got to tell you this, that not less than three times walking around New Zealand in the circles that I operate in that don't engage in conspiracy theories, the Baczynski Clinic has come up in conversation. You have permeated the entire globe with what you've done, managing to shrink tumors. So, Dr. Gregory Baczynski, I'd like to welcome you to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Thank you so much, Vinny.
Hi.
Please, we've got a whole myriad of people here. So how about you just introduce yourself one by one with your titles, please, so that the audience can get to grips with the kind of host variation we've got here.
I'm Dr. Stan Baczynski, and I am the director of the clinic. And next to me is my son, Greg Baczynski.
I'm the vice president of the clinic, and I also help out with seeing many of the patients here.
And I'm Azad Rastegar. I'm the director of business development, domestic and international. I'm also the director of our admissions department, as well as the company spokesperson.
And we had Deborah and, well, never mind.
Hi, Vinny. I'm Renee Trimble. I'm the director of public relations here.
And Vinny, I'm Deborah Stockton, marketing design associate here.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind we've got the whole team here for pretty much 2 hours. However, the Baczynskis, unfortunately, they're the busiest of the bunch, and we'll only be able to have the first 40 minutes with them. So I'd like you guys to take it away and just kind of preface for those of the audience who don't know just who you are and what all this kind of cancer cure type debacle has been about.
Well, Vinny, first of all, let me start by thanking you guys and give a big, warm global hello to all your listeners out there. I thought this was going to be video, so I actually shaved for the event. I'm a little disappointed it's not, so I shaved for nothing. But
I didn't.
Well, listen, so you summarized it best, okay? You accurately portrayed what's going on here. We are a cancer treatment center here in Houston, Texas, USA, and we see some of the deadliest types of cancers around and have had some remarkable successes with them. We've opened up our doors to the clinic in 1977, in May of 1977, with the basis of Dr. Baczynski's baby, which is these anti-neoplastins that are so famous. And we've treated patients with terminal cases, like I mentioned, and had nothing but remarkable successes with many of these cases. Some of them coming to us as little children, and now, fast forward the clock 20 years later, they have children and families of their own. One patient in particular was a Hilton executive with a deadly brain tumor. She came to us, and a wonderful success story. She's now married and has a child and another one on the way, chose for Dr. Brzezinski to be her at the wedding. And I'm happy to report that he was one of the first dances to her song. So it was a very touching moment for all. But this is the type of stuff we're doing here. And unfortunately, you know, with this type of breakthroughs comes some type of firewalls, right? You can't seem to really get a break when it comes to stuff like this. So constantly we're up against the wall with criticism from you know, oncologists that don't seem to understand or want to go to the next level in cutting edge therapies for cancer, or some type of regulatory agency who's trying to give us minor headaches here and there. The big battle has been fought. The big battle has been won. And that's all available to you at the Brzezinski movie documentary that most of your viewers have seen. So the big battle has been won. And now it's a matter of dealing with these little headaches, such as the local state agencies, the Texas Medical Board, who seem to still want to kind of nip at our heels here and give us a little bit more of a hard time than we would prefer. So in summary, I can say that we are, like I said, a standing clinic here with an expansion into a research center, expansion into a pharmaceutical plant, expansion into the approval process of a drug, antineoplastins, as well as a treatment center for a new way of treating cancer patients called personalized targeted therapy. Personalized targeted therapy, I want your readers to write that term down. Personalized medicine, individualized medicine, and maybe in parentheses they can put my name down and say you heard it from me first. Because it's going to be the wave of the future in all areas of health, not just cancer, but in all areas. And I have countless citations, even from a very popular circulation here in the USA called Time Magazine, where they quote that in 10 years from now, every cancer patient is going to want to get a genomic analysis done of their cancer and then a treatment plan that's reflective of that. Well, that's something that you don't have to wait 10 years from now. You can have done right here, right now. We've been moving this direction for quite some time.
Well, actually, we're not even been moving this direction for quite some time. We've been past this point for quite some time. And the only reason why we still have to struggle with getting cancer cures out is because whenever somebody comes up with one, gets suppressed. It's really quite simple. There's a good book called Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries by Jonathan Eisen. You can get it at Amazon.com, I think. And he documents, I think nearly a dozen or so people have come up with a cure for cancer and just had all sorts of terrible things happen to them, you know. And in the modern age, you'd figure that this kind of, almost prohibition era tactic is being employed here, don't you think? What is the, do you feel as a doctor that there's some kind of challenge to the entire medical field that has suddenly come up in your mind here, that maybe the whole field itself has something wrong with it inherently?
Well, certainly there are some bright and brave oncologists who see that the change is inevitable. We are now 160 years from the times the current diagnosis of cancer has been introduced, which means looking under microscope on pathology slides and deciding what kind of cancer the patient has. By the way, it was introduced in today's Poland territory, which at that time was the Kingdom of Prussia, by a doctor whose name was Rudolf Virchow, a famous German doctor who established the basis of pathology diagnosis of cancer. And since then, they have been small steps, just improving the microscope, improving the glasses the observers wore, well, introducing new type of reagents, but the principle remains the same. try to categorize the cancers into about 160 different types and use the principles which were embraced by the chairman Mao. Everybody is the same and everybody should receive the same treatment. Certainly, these principles did not work, as we know, and in People's Republic of China, nobody believes in them anymore. Okay. Well, likewise.
Well, you know, there's a concept here that there's no such thing as a group. You know, it's because it's all an abstraction, just like there's no such thing as a forest. I mean, because you can't touch a forest, can you? You can only touch a tree, just like you can't touch a group of people. You can only touch a person, you know, an individual. And what this kind of, like you said, Maoist medical dogma is perpetuating is basically just a long-term eugenics policy where everybody's going to suffer from illness inherently and will conveniently, though, have a whole lot of drugs that don't do anything. In fact, will probably do you more harm than good, for which they can prescribe you more drugs in an endless cycle until it comes down to the point where you're 67 years of age, you know, you could be walking around or whatever, but no, you're stuck in a wheelchair, you're slumped to the side and you're drooling, and you can't do anything because you're so whacked out on something like 19 different pills in a day for your depression, your glaucoma, your arthritis, and your rigor mortis, and goodness knows what else. It's unbelievable how much disease is manufactured and maintained. And dare I say it, nurtured.
No doubt about it. And you see, by introducing the principle that every patient, every cancer patient is pretty much the same, and categorizing the cancer in a small number of diagnoses based on today's obscure principle, which is how the cell looks under the microscope, this was bonanza for the pharmaceutical industry because obviously the doctors were brainwashed. They were forced to use identical treatment for millions of people. And obviously, very few of these patients recovered. I'm talking about advanced cancer. And majority of them suffered bad adverse reactions. So now we know that this is a wrong principle because cancer is different for practically every patient. You have to find out what is causing cancer. Cancer is caused by a group of genes, by abnormal genes, and these genes are different for practically every patient. You have to analyze what is causing the cancer, which genes are causing cancer in your patient, and use the medications which will treat bad genes rather than the name of cancer. Then you have a chance to win. And that's where our treatment is coming up, because we introduce the treatment which works on approximately 100 different genes which are causing cancer. For some patients, that's perfectly all right, and you can get rid of cancer by using our medications alone. For some others, you have to use them in combination with the other medications, which are called gene-targeted therapies.
Currently, so let me get this straight. Everybody has a particular type of DNA, gene, certain types of cancers that they would get, and they all respond in particular ways if you influence them properly. And what you've discovered here is a substance that can be manipulated in a range of different ways to treat many, many different forms of cancer among many patients, right?
You're correct. What I discovered is certain system of molecular switches which exist in our body, in healthy people. These molecular switches, they turn off the genes which are causing cancer. It's like turning off the electricity at the switchboard and the machinery will stop. We are talking about the machinery which is causing malignant cells to multiply endlessly and produce poor merchandise, billions of useless cancer cells, which ultimately will kill the patient. Okay? Well, we turn off the switches and the machinery stops. That's what we are talking about. And what I discovered are the switches which turn off approximately 100 the most important genes which are involved in cancer. For many patients, that's enough, okay? But for some others, it's not enough because they may have 110 genes which are out of the scope on which we work. For such patients, we need to introduce new molecular switches, which we know they exist, or use currently available medications which work on the genes. They usually work on 1, 2, 5 different genes. And use them in combination. So then, It's like turning off the electricity. The machinery which produces cancer stops, malignant cells will die, and the patient will live normal life. So that's what we are talking about.
You have, so there's no real reason for anybody to be afraid. Are there side effects to these? Is it a medication? Is it a natural therapy? I mean, what is the substance that we're talking about?
Well, certainly you can call this natural therapy because everybody has these medications in his or her body, okay? But patients who have cancer, they don't have enough of this. You can trace these chemicals only to some natural ingredients. You can find them in various plants. You can find them with certain nutrients. But for the purpose of using them as medication, we have to reproduce them synthetically. That's the requirement of the government, and that's what we do. Adverse reactions are minimal. Usually patients tolerate the treatment well. And those who recover, they tend to recover completely. We have now patients who are well without any sign of cancer for over 10 years, for over 20 years. And when they came to us, they were diagnosed as hopeless. So at least for some patients, we can get rid of the cancer for good. But not yet for everybody, because this is such a complex problem. But we are getting there step by step.
Well, you know, that's what I think what discovery is all about, is getting to your destination step by step. Because I'm sure at this point, let's say, for example, when you very first discovered this, the percentage of patients walking through your door, how many of them could you just give them the general substance and they'd be cured and on their way kind of thing, or versus today? Probably a lot more discovery has been made. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Dr. Buzinski and the team at the Buzinski Clinic. And we'll be right back after the break on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Marching forth into the darkness, the dark halls of the FDA, there lurks a pharmaceutical company rep who will approve a very dangerous drug pretty much every day and experiment on the public in phase 3 trial testing. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the diabetes of bracelet of talk radio. We're the ones that warn you to not pump something into your veins so that you might have anaphylactic shock and die. South of the border in Mexico, the Vinnie Eastwood Show is known as El Diabeto. And welcome back to my very special guest, the team at the Buzinski Clinic. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I hope you're enjoying it. Because one thing that I really wanted to get into now is just the rigmarole that you've experienced as a result of your discoveries.
Well, suddenly, you see, like with any discovery, initially there's a period of enthusiasm when I presented my discovery first time. This was exactly in the year 1976, when President Nixon promised that the war on cancer will be won. This was the year I presented my discovery to the public of almost 20,000 medical doctors and researchers, grouped as one of the largest medical congresses in the world. It immediately caught attention, and you could read about it all over the world. Associated Press carried this to the entire globe. I was congratulated. I received additional funding. It looks like at least for the next 6 months, everything looks bright. But then, of course, typical attack began and everything has been suppressed. And since then, I had been suppressed, obviously, and the people who were working with me, and I was trying to survive. And then, of course, at the same time, continue the research and continue to save a life of horribly sick people. Okay, it wasn't easy, but that's what I experienced.
Well, I see through that to a certain extent. You know, in a war, victory means that your people die just to kill other people. And so how can a war on cancer ever be won?
That's a difficulty to really understand it. And certainly the war on cancer, which was started by President Nixon, is now going on into the next 40 years. It was 40 years anniversary, and now it's going on to the next 40 years. It looks like the establishment is very comfortable in carrying this forever, for another 40 years. As a matter of fact, that's the editorials in some of the cancer journals, in oncology journals, when the editors are asking, well, let's make plans for another 40 years of war on cancer. You see, they would like to carry this for another 40 years when really, in fact, you can save thousands of human lives even today if you use the approach which we are using, okay? And this is available. Many doctors can do it. I am not keeping this secret. I am going all over the world bringing this message to numerous doctors. It can be done, and with the help of people like you, with the help of news media, it can be done sooner than you expect. So that's what you like to do. You like to win the war on cancer, and the soldiers will be ordinary people. The soldiers in the war will be those who have cancer and those who understand that they can win with cancer, okay? So that's how this war can be found. At this moment, it is a political issue. And obviously, it can be won through people action. And that's what I think we are looking for. Almost a million of people look at our documentary, and they understand, and they give us tremendous support. And that's something which can help to bring the victory over cancer closer.
Now, how can the listeners directly support you? Do you have a website that they can visit where they can perhaps make donations or volunteer to help campaign for you? Do you have any kind of apparatus like that, or are you on Facebook, social networking?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a lot of ways that we can have some help. First of all, let me give you our website, www.BrzezinskiClinic.com. That's B like boy, U R, Z like zebra, Y, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, KIClinic.com, all one word. Or alternatively, you can go to www.CancerMed.com. That's M like Mary, E, D like David, CancerMed.com. Lots of information is there. Lots of contact information in case you want to personally send us an email is there available for you. On that site, there's also a donations page. We've had a lot of people who've seen this video, who've seen this movie, heard the tale, and have been outraged, absolutely outraged, and want to do whatever is possible to help us.
Are people allowed to download that movie and put it onto DVD and hand them out on street corners?
No, it's handled. The movie is done separate of us by a gentleman named Eric Morello. He has his own website where you can contact him, and that's BrzezinskiMovie.com. BrzezinskiMovie.com. And you can contact him. He's very, very friendly and very much passionate about this movement. So he'll be very much helpful for you in case you want to have a showing. He can help guide you for that. And I encourage that. I encourage people that, you know, quite literally, you can have it at your own house. You can have it in your local neighborhood. Talk to a theater and say, hey, listen, there's an incredible documentary that will blow you out of the water in terms of what's being done to stifle the advancements of cancer.
Now, let's get into that specifically. What has been done to you?
With regards to the...
To stifling your discovery.
Well, I mean, as you see in the documentary, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I will. In the documentary, it shows how Dr. Brzezinski, you know, he hasn't had the peachy keen road you would think when someone is told that, hey, I have cancer and you're able to essentially cure them or you know, slow down the disease or even absolutely reverse it, which all three are considered very magnificent feats in the world of oncology. But you would think that you would be thrown money and all sorts of research opportunities and big warm hugs and kisses, but not so much. It was instead met with a lot of grief from the medical establishment as well as from the legal establishment. It started with the Texas State Medical Board. So they started in a state level to harass Dr. Brzezinski. They did this in the beginning through his patients. They went to his former patients and quite literally solicited to them to say, hey, is there anything that you don't like about this doctor? Would you like to report something on this doctor? Would you like to make a bad comment about this doctor? Things of that nature. And that's how we actually found out about it. Dr. Brzezinski was notified by some of his patients that, hey, listen, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Texas State Medical Board is quite literally asking us if there's a problem with you that we could report to them. And so we were surprised. We were very shocked to hear about this. So it started there. And Dr. Brzezinski went in front of the board, you know, had to leave his practice in Houston, travel all the way to Austin, you know, lose time, lose day, hire attorneys, spend a lot of money, spend a lot of valuable time, leave these poor patients alone, all just to handle a bunch of mediocre at best issues. Okay. And so, again, this seemed kind of strange, but the bigger picture here was the FDA. The FDA was motivating the Texas State Medical Board to basically take these measures to annoy us, to bring us into court, to try to capture us on something that we were doing everything in a compliance with. And then finally, the FDA pulled out their own big guns. And so from a federal level, they got involved and they essentially, there was a rule in Texas. Okay. There was a law in Texas where if you were the discoverer of, you know, a certain medication, and you wanted to treat your patients in Texas within Texas state line, you could. Well, what would happen is a lot of patients would come to us from East Coast to West Coast, right? You were told you were going to die by your hometown physician. Well, before you start packing up your bags and filling out your forms to say goodbye to everybody, why don't you stop by in Houston, Texas, meet this Polish guy. His name's Brzezinski. He's got a small operation, but man, I tell you something, he might be able to just save your life. Enough of this started to travel around where patients were starting to visit us here in Houston. We're having wonderful success. They were told they weren't going to live 6 weeks. Well, they went back to their hometown oncologist 6 months later and said, hey, doc, you remember me? I should be a ghost by now, right? You told me I was going to die. You scared the Jesus out of me. So I want you to tell me what you did wrong. Why did you not refer me to this doctor in Houston, Texas, and his discovery of these antineoplastins? Because here I am alive and well today, and you told me I was going to die. Enough of this started to go around where these doctors started to talk to one another and saying, hey, who's this Brzezinski guy? You know what? Where is he from? What's he doing? And what's this antineoplastin stuff? It's not even approved on the FDA list. Well, it didn't need to be. Oh, he found this loophole in Texas, did he? I see. Well, let's go ahead and try to put a lobbying effort in place to abolish this loophole. They were successful. Once they abolished this loophole and this law disappeared, Dr. Brzezinski, quite literally, in the eyes of the law, became a drug dealer overnight. Every one of his patients came with a charge of jail time sentence. Every one of his patients came with a fine, adding up to about $18.5 million in fines, nearly 300 years in jail. Remind you, this sentence wasn't given down to a man for a complex sex trade operation or anything of that nature. It was instead given to a man who's simply searching to help the world provide a cure for cancer. Okay?
So again, what a devilishly evil individual.
What is he thinking? What the nerve?
Like, dude.
No good deed goes unpunished.
The nerve of Dr. Brzezinski for trying to abolish the number two killer in America. But yes, that is it. That's the nuts and soups of it. And Of course, he went through these horrible time of his life, which is quite literally going to the courthouse every day and, you know, crossing your fingers and toes that you're not going to be thrown into jail for about three life sentences, all for your work in cancer. And at the same time, parallel to this, you have patients who are petitioning, begging, pleading, going in front of congressional hearing after congressional hearing. All of this is there for you to see in the documentary, by the way. These emotional testimonies by parents of these patients who said quite literally, if you throw this doctor in jail, the drug is not available for my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my family member. They will die. They were told they were going to die. He is absolutely the last hope. Don't do this. Begging, pleading, showing petitions and signatures, doing all this. And again, all this is there. It's so emotional. It's so emotional when you see the look of distress and desperation in the eyes of a mother crying and pleading in front of a legislative board not to pull the plug on their son because he will undoubtedly die without this medicine. Undoubtedly die without this medicine. So this was the way, you know, we built it up until that point. And funny enough, it was actually a quote from the FDA that the efficacy of the drug was not in question. Let me restate that for everyone in case you didn't hear it. All of this jail time potential, all of this fines, all of these poor families and future patients, the efficacy of the drug was not in question. That's not what was important. It was about him and what team he was on and what, you know, did he follow all the rules? Did he dot his I here? Did he cross his T there? The efficacy was never in question. They didn't care if 20,000 patients marched up to Capitol Hill with cures and whatnot. And that's the outrageous, outlandish nature of this whole thing. Is that not crazy to you? Is that not crazy to everybody? That, listen, there's a guy who might have a cure and we're not even looking at that part of the equation?
Oh, no. It sounds perfectly reasonable. But, of course, I know the mind of a psychopath, so.
Well, there you go. So the idea of having these patients provide their own personal testimonies inside the court for the jury to hear was banned. That was stricken. You did not get to do that. So what they did instead was protest outside the courthouse, protest outside Washington, D.C., everywhere they could, just, you know, to get this doctor out of the hairpins he was in. Well,
did they kettle everybody into little free speech zones?
Yeah. Well, they did. They were very ingenious. They creatively put themselves in areas where they knew the jury would have to somehow, some way pass. They knew that the people involved in the case would somehow see. So they were really, really smart, bright patients, I have to say. And then came the judgment day, and everything was dropped. Every single charge was dropped. Every single fine was dropped. Now, this did cost taxpayers quite a hefty bit.
Indeedy do. Trying to, make sure that people don't release a cure for cancer to the public knowledge, I think it's worth the investment. Because conveniently enough, all the lobbyists have made sure that all the pharmaceutical companies will get all the money as a result. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
This is the FDA's theme song. Coming at you live from the Medical Mafia Chateau on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
How many O's can I fit into a sentence? Never mind. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And my very special guests, the whole lot of them from the Baczynski Clinic in Texas. And fortunately, it's getting a little bit hot around the world these days because lots of public attention is now being focused in my opinion, where it ought to be, about the hidden links behind people. And, well, in fact, F off, they're not even hidden. They're right out there in the open. Anybody with 2 hours to watch a documentary about any subject can wind up learning 10 times, maybe even 100 times, what they're already aware of. And I can assure you that no matter how much you learn, it's always worse than you could possibly comprehend. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I like that intro theme you did, and I've actually had people refer to the FDA as the Star Spangled Mafia, so it was quite appropriate.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's a whole issue of labeling that we've got in this country. You know, everybody wants to label everybody else, and in my opinion, a lot of labels just don't seem to fit because they're based on absolutely no evidence. Whereas if you were to, in fact, refer to all of these big officialdom-type scumbaggery characters as criminals, as mafia, as eugenicists, as murderers, thieves, liars, and all number of a myriad of adjectives and personal pronouns that could describe such a character in somewhat of a comic and or horrific fashion, all would probably be accurate in at least 5 to 10, 20, 50% of cases, who knows? You just have no idea how deep the corrupt circles inside administrations really go until they come knocking at your door and start looking at you like, you're trying to save lives over here, buddy. Well, excuse me. I'm a murdering psychopath, and I've got copious quantities of power and men with guns, and also people with fake courts and fake wigs and stuff that can talk over you and tell you that we're going to throw you in private prisons for ages, which will pay those private prison owners for ages, forever, using your tax dollars to keep you in prison. Yeah. And even after you're dead, we'll make sure that your corpse lives out the remainder of the sentence, manacled to a wall, on display as a reminder of what happens when you try to cure cancer.
Well, just
don't
in case
mess with us.
Just in case he's resurrected, they have to cover all bases. Very diligent of them.
Well, yeah, there's a guy named Dr. Bill Deagle, and he claims that he's on what he calls the government's double blacklist, which means if he could be killed twice, they would, which means not only killing them in the physical existence, but trying to kill his spirit as well, you know. And I don't have any idea the ramifications of that. I just like to focus right here in reality because we've got guests here on air that can freaking cure cancer. So there's an opportunity here, I think. Now, is there any other types of things that you really want people to be aware of? Things that perhaps haven't been said in the documentary that you think maybe were left on the cutting room floor?
Well, you see, the main battle occurred some time ago. Obviously, this was 14 years ago when we were in court and we won. Since then, we have working relation with the FDA. We are able to make great progress in our clinical trials. We completed 11 phase 2 clinical trials here in US for the worst type of cancer you can get, various types of incurable brain tumors, and we proved that this treatment can get rid of such brain tumors in many patients and provide them with normal quality of life. They will receive the treatment, they will get rid of the tumors, then they will live normal life, not just for 1 year, but for 10 years, for even over 20 years, and forget about the time when they had the tumors. So we proved the point. We proved that this treatment really should be available to every doctor and every patient who need it. In addition, our Japanese colleagues conducted very important clinical trials in advanced colon cancer, which spread to the liver and proved that they can double the survival. We are not talking about the survival just for 1 month. We are talking about over 5 years survival in advanced colon cancer, which again is consistent with the cure. So it's not a joke. It's a serious treatment which can help many, many people all over the world. In the meantime, we perfected gene testing for every patient. We are now running genetic analysis across the entire genome to identify which genes are causing cancer in every patient and to select the best possible treatment, which means the treatment with one medication from Antineoplastin group plus the other medication which now are available which work on the genes. This can help a great number of patients. We are not really keeping this to ourselves. I am going all over the world, probably to a dozen of different congresses and talking to the audience of thousands of doctors, specialists in the field, to share with them that this is possible to do it. It's possible to do it now and to help many patients. So surprisingly, this triggered again attack from Texas Medical Board. Then they after asked for using such combination treatment, which makes perfect sense, which works on the genes, and now they're again after us. So we're preparing for the next show in court, which is supposed to happen in January next year. And in this area, we may need the support of the listeners. We may need to ask them to write the letters. Perhaps the best types of letters will be to the governor of the state of Texas, who is supervising Texas Medical Board, to really stop this nonsense. We are saving lives of numerous patients. We are giving the ideas, pioneering ideas to the other doctors, how they can effectively treat cancers. We should be awarded for that, but not harassed. But such harassment still continue by uneducated people who are representing Texas Medical Board. And this should stop. It's not a way to slow down the access to new treatment for cancer which can help thousands of patients.
Yeah, I suppose it's expansion that's really required here. But I'm sorry, Gregory, go ahead.
It's Azad here. What I was going to say is I want to reiterate that fact that Dr. Brzezinski brought up. Okay, so let's take it from the top. What is shown in the documentary is Dr. Brzezinski's long history with his fight to get this drug approved, antineoplastins, okay? You'll see all sorts of documentation, footages during those hard eras, everything compiled together, and at the same time how they tried and attempted to steal his patents. I mean, the whole shabam is there. Now, outside that movie, your question was, is there anything outside of that film that should be explained? And the answer is yes. Now, antineoplastins is one aspect of our clinic. If you were to come to, God forbid, anyone of you or your viewers, or I mean listeners, have cancer, if you wanted to come down to Houston to get treatment for cancer, you would have to qualify in order to get the antineoplastins. Let me make that perfectly clear. We would love to give antineoplastins as an option to everybody. Straight from the minute you find out you have the disease, you come down, we would love to do this. But again, under governmental guidelines, you know, he got everything wiped away in terms of court stuff. But they said, from now on, you have to only use this stuff in clinical trials with very strict inclusion an exclusion criteria. So
yeah, that the same thing happens in Australia. It's very difficult to get your own drugs manufactured in Australia, which is why they have all the manufacturing plants in New Zealand, where our laws are much less strict.
Right. So it's not just manufacturing; it's administering. So let's, God forbid, John, who's listening in, has cancer, and he says, "Oh, let me write this name down. I'm going to get on a plane and I'm traveling to Houston and I want this antineoplastin therapy. I saw the documentary. It seems so promising." He'll get here and we have to say you have to qualify to get it in a specific protocol that we have established. Well, he doesn't meet that protocol. Let's just say he can't qualify. Well, the story doesn't end there for him. He doesn't need to be completely distraught, because what would happen is that he would roll over into our what's called personalized targeted therapy program. Let me repeat that. Personalized targeted therapy program. Every one of those words means something very important in terms of the treatment plan. Every patient here, like Vinny, you know, I did this once on a show with TV, but let's see how it works on the radio. Lift up for
well,
me.
We'll probably have to save that for after the break. We've only got about a minute left here until we progress on with the next hour. But I say really hold that thought, because what you've really said here, as far as I'm concerned, is what happens when you've got past one hurdle, you find another one, and probably another one, and another one. And it's very interesting. Is there an end to these hurdles without an end to the whole system itself? You know, that's ponder that for a moment, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guests from the Brzezinski Clinic. We'll be right back.
Frontline, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded station in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children. Frontline, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.